This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning from me, Pumi Mashiko, from Gareth Cliff.
Yes.
And from CS Angwin.
Yeah,
alright. What do you think?
That is a very sad attempt at a baritone. Yeah, boom. No.
Is that sad, Howie?
That is not how I sound at all. No, you need a little sparkle.
Sia was swanning around with the
with
all the embassy people in Pretoria yesterday. It's right. It's really his scene. I saw him come to fruition yesterday. Walking around from ambassador to ambassador, to members of the international relations department to famous people. Air kisses.
Throwing everywhere. His head back and laughing.
I got to ask you though, why did you pitch up so late? Because Sia was there like an hour after everyone else arrived and people were side-eyeing him. Like,
Comedy of errors. Because you do not pitch up at the High Commissioner's house an hour late. You can pitch up to like the launch of a new beer late. I broke probably societal rule number 7 yesterday.
Well, you mean 1 through 6 and 7?
No, you know, there's like, you know, societal rule. Okay, number one, just don't murder someone. Number two, be nice. Number three, do unto others the same you'd like done unto you. Number 7.
Yes.
The cardinal rule.
Which was?
Is you never swap barbers.
Oh, you went for a haircut?
And that's what I did yesterday.
What
so I knew that we had this event to attend at midday, and I thought, you know, I just have some scruff on my face. I wanted it nicely, properly trimmed, you know, my beard trimmed, and then I just wanted my hair trimmed as well. And I went to my regular barber. And the thing is, I think a lot of men can attest to this. You probably have this unspoken rule with your barber. You know him.
Yeah.
You don't know a lot about him. You might know his name at a push, but it's always, hey, so-and-so, you sit down, are you good? I'm good. And then he gets about the business of cutting your hair.
He does a shave and a haircut for you?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Are you telling me you don't know, you don't have a conversation?
See, this is a little bit of a stereotype, but I think women, you go to hairdressers, and it's like, oh my gosh, you'll never believe what happened last week. And you know exactly what's going on with each other.
Most women get all of their news, not from CNN, but from their hairdresser.
Yeah, you get filled up on what's going on with men, I think very generally. It's like you get there, you sit down.
I always thought it was different though for gay guys, because you know the gay guy has more of a relationship. Clearly, with you, that's not the case. You're breaking that stereotype.
Oh no, I just want to.
You want to sit down and get your shave and a haircut.
Yeah, and I leave.
So you don't actually know what happened to your barber.
No, and then
does he use a cutthroat razor? Just hang on a second, because this is very curious to me. He uses a cutthroat razor.
Yeah, one of those old school.
Oh, and he uses hot towels
afterwards as well. He's like a big, burly. I'd say like Eastern European man.
Oh, look at you. Where do you go? For this,
yeah,
near here,
yeah, no, where, around where I live,
oh
yeah.
My God, how wonderful.
So now I'm like,
you go there, and then
how long
he gives
have you
a
been
really.
Going there?
Just hold on, Pums. This is weird, because I mean, like, I shave myself, and this morning I haven't, but I just do that. I just grab one of those Gillette razors and hop in the shower, and you know, I've got some like shaving cream, and that's me done. But Sia goes for this. How often do you do this?
No, well, it depends. You know, I do shave at home.
Yeah, but
I think for special occasions.
Oh, so you, no, but you want save, your maybe when you have a haircut, then you also have this done.
Yes,
every time.
Yes,
and you, how
he
long
has
have
the
you
white
been
towels.
Going to this guy, Sia? Yeah?
Since I moved out of home, so about 2 years, and I don't know his name, so I can't even
how
pitch up there now and go, oh, sorry, I'm looking for Ahmed. I go to
a woman and I only figured out her name after the third time I'd been. Because that's just how I, you know.
You guys are disgusting.
No, but it's a service provided to us. To you, it's a friend.
No. So it's a valued service.
You're judging us in a big
you
way.
Really are.
I absolutely am.
You're judging us
first
big time.
Of all, how do you allow a person into such close proximity to your like intimate space?
Look, he's breathed down my neck.
And not know his name. I can't understand that.
I've had my face
right near his crotch.
I get into strangers' cars, and because they're driving an Uber, I don't check their name. I mean, it's...
Thank you.
You don't have time to know everybody. I get. Look, I think it's weird that Sia doesn't know after 2 years. But it took me 3 visits before I knew my hairdresser's
so
name.
So you don't like... I'm just... You know, so the idea of a haircut and the way Sia is describing this religious experience of his...
Yeah, it's a big deal. That's a big deal. But I got to say, you look very groomed yesterday and today.
Thank you.
So clearly it works for you, whatever this is.
See, I wasn't going to go to the British Commissioner's house looking like, you know...
Like rubbish.
Hank the Jank. No.
Google, what's up?
Yeah. Gareth, you just mentioned how good he looks. I haven't actually had a chance to look at him.
Come in here and have a look.
How's your face feeling, Sia? You're looking clean.
Yeah, he looks clean shaven.
But how's it feeling?
Thank you.
How's it feeling? I don't know.
Because the other day we had a conversation and his face looked like it was very painful, you know, with the shaving pimples and stuff.
Oh, you mean it looked like it was, sometimes you get a bad shave. Mm. What is it called? A shave rash, shaver burn, what is it?
Yeah, and it's very common with black dudes as well.
No, it's common with everybody.
Google, I didn't know you were so
Shows up way worse with us white people, trust me.
No, you know.
So, what happened?
So, Sia, you go to the barber.
And my regular guy isn't there.
Ah.
And now I'm thinking, do I take the risk of going with someone else? And then also, maybe he might have popped out for coffee, but I don't know his name.
But you don't know his name.
What do I say? Hey, big burly guy, where did the big burly guy go? Is he around here?
Why don't you just go up to the counter and say, they're Eastern Europeans, right? Where the other men?
The big sweaty one.
Where is other man? Yeah. Hey, you fuckers, where is he? And they'll go, oh, you want him? You want Vladislav? It's no problem. He come back in an hour.
Yeah, the one with a lot of chest. That one.
Sit down, little man.
Oh, no. So I took the risk of having to wait for someone else. And, you know, because usually, like, my guy always prioritizes me. So I had to wait for someone else. And I was looking at the clock.
Your guy
prioritizes
you.
Yeah, it's a relationship.
And yet you don't know his name.
There is so much in the handshake afterwards. After he's done with Michael, you know what? Handshake, thank you, see you in a few weeks.
Do you think he knows your name?
No.
No, definitely not.
No.
Definitely not.
Absolutely.
He doesn't care. And you see, this is the other thing, Pumi. No. Like, I can go, and I'm not loyal to hairdressers. I haven't been for years. So that's why it takes me a couple of visits to realize what her... It's usually her. I don't mind if it's a him. And, so I really don't care, but... Recently, I've been going to this girl she's really good. She's just terrific. And, you know, you get the head massage at the basin, which is really nice because that's part of the reason I go. I won't lie.
I make the same face my dogs make when you scratch them. It's like...
And I know the woman. Yes, exactly. I know the woman who washes my hair. I know her name's Maria. I always ask for her by name.
So Maria.
I knew her from the first one. But the actual hairdresser, I only got her name right third time lucky. And... I don't think about it. Like, we don't always have to talk. Sometimes I'm very sleepy when I get my hair cut. Really, like my head kind of, you know, when you sort of...
Wow.
You almost nod off?
Yes.
That's the best, because you've just had a head massage and you're feeling really relaxed. But you women, you natter on... I mean, I hear the woman next to me, and she's busy with one of the other girls, and she's like... And they're always talking about, like, other people's relationships and... Gossip here and this there and I'm like, no, thank you.
So the guy that does my hair, and I've got two people.
You have a team.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work to look this good.
Sure. All right, tell me more.
Did my hair for my matric dance.
Oh.
That's how long I've been going to this.
See, so loyalty is also a thing.
He
there.
Must be old.
He is. It's like, you know, he's...
Does he come up to you in a wheelchair when he...
big guy. Like,
adjusts your chair so you can get it from the wheelchair. He's a big guy as well.
Wow.
Well, listen, I mean, the one area I don't go into because I have zero experience and I realize there's massive gaps in my education when we talk about black women and hair, I'm just like, look. Because I remember my bali used to tell me she would go to this guy in town and he would do her braids or whatever. You know, sometimes she'd do braids, sometimes she'd do like some kind of weave, sometimes she'd do it natural. She did the whole lot. I mean,
multi-billion-dollar business.
Right, but she said that it took hours. Now, if you're going to be there for hours, I totally understand. You're going to end up in a relationship with this person. They're important. You get to know their name. You know who their family are. Mm. You know all this stuff about them. And when I think about it, it's actually bizarre that we are so different, men and women, in the way we deal with people. Like, you know, because women go to skin people, they go to hair people, they go to nail people, and you know all of them.
Eyebrows and eyelash people.
Eyebrows and eyelash people.
Goodness.
You got to remember, with men, we basically have to, have our hair cut. We sometimes do what Sia does, go to a barber for a shave, which is a real treat. For most guys, don't do that every week, you know. Mm. That's it. That's just about it. I mean, maybe you go to your dentist every couple of months. I can't think of your doctor if you've got something wrong with you, but you don't go and see them otherwise.
Mm.
You know, with women, there's a lot of people in your life that are intimately involved with you.
Although
you go for waxes.
But my thing is, okay, a person that is shaving your face, Sia, person that is
with a cutthroat razor.
They are so close to you.
Yeah.
On so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
Just even, you know, with their body. To not know their name, Sia, you've got to do better.
I now need to. Tiny, but I know like, most definitely I'm not alone on this one.
Just please find out what this dude's
not
name is.
Alone on this
next
one.
Next time you go.
How long does it take you to get your hair done?
No,
when you're going for like a little trip?
I'm in for half an hour max, including the...
Including the wash.
Me too.
Yeah.
About 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. They process me like this. Look, they're terrific. I mean,
you're legitimately shocked by this.
How long do you go in for?
It depends on what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, the brows and the lashes is about an hour.
Yeah.
Depending on what kind of hair do you're doing, it takes minimum an hour and a half.
That's
if
like
you
your
do
whole,
braids is what takes like
yeah, braids
forever.
Takes forever. So that my buddy used to say she would be in for like 4 hours maybe.
Yeah.
4 hours?
That sounds right to you? 4 hours?
I would fall asleep.
It sounds good, actually. 4 hours is
Well, growing up in a house full of women, my mom would often have a hairdresser come over to the house.
Right, she'd just do all of you at once.
And just stay over the night. I'm not even joking. It was always a Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
And my mom would come back from work, and then she'd like, the hairdresser would get to have a little snack and break, then it's onto the other girl, and then it's onto the other one.
But you would know her name or his name.
Ooh, okay.
No, not you, but the rest of them would.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah.
It was somebody,
so,
I don't know.
So, Sia, you arrived late for this thing, which because everyone is looking for you, and they were all asking
they
me.
They were looking for you, Sia.
Now, this is the bad thing, because I thought, oh, it's a big crowd. No one is going to notice.
They knew you. They could notice you.
But it's you, Sia.
So it was meant to be for the Queen's birthday. But it actually was just, you know, one of these. Because, I mean, she was part of the speech, and that's it. No one said another thing about her. And then after that...
The announcement.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, so here's Sia's big announcement. He's so excited about this. Go ahead, Sia. Take it away.
Well, I'm actually glad I wasn't there for the official announcement, because there would have been a high squeal.
Would you have...
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. The High Commissioner...
I tipped you off in the morning.
And I'm so glad you didn't tell me sooner, because I wouldn't have been able to keep this a secret for like 2 weeks.
Right.
The High Commissioner, the British High Commissioner, Nigel Casey, he confirmed yesterday that His Royal Highness Prince Harry and Meghan Markle will be visiting South Africa this year.
This is how excited he is.
God!
So excited. Have you ever heard anyone so excited
and
in your life?
The Duchess are coming to South Africa.
His actual footage.
And you're already in this. Yes.
Can I take my jacket off now?
You want to hear some actual footage of Sia's reaction at the party yesterday?
Like a pig.
Yes, the high-pitched sound is coming from Sia.
Right, look, as soon as I walked in and I was processing this news, I was now like, who else can I squeeze for more information? Uh-huh. Are they landing in Pretoria? Are they landing in Cape Town? What's the itinerary like? How many days are they here for? Which charities are they visiting? Because now, best believe, I'll be a whole supporter of that charity. We are this doing a 20-day set right, by Sia of whatever charity they're endorsing.
We've got three people in Sia's life who really mean enough for him to stalk them without shame. There's Oprah, obviously.
Mm.
There's Bey, Beyonce.
Yes.
And there's Meghan Markle.
Dan.
These three women, Sia will...
That's the Holy Trinity.
He'll skip work for. He will abandon his family for. Mm. He will stalk them at airports and public bathrooms and wherever else they don't expect to be stalked. Didn't you pitch up at some party at a hotel when Beyonce was in the country just in case she was there?
Yeah. I booked at the Saxon for dinner to make sure because I heard that's
it's
what
the
she
Saxon,
said.
You know, it's like Bey and crew staying at
the... He's the kind of person that famous people are terrified of because he'll make every effort. You'll walk into your hotel suite and there he'll be lying on the bed with petals. You're like, what the... What?
Hey.
Stalkers.
I'm here to look after baby Archie. Give him over here. Give him over. No, I'll dress up as a carrot. I'll plant myself on the ground if they're into like planting veggies or something. But it really is awesome that, you know, this is their first Southern African visit, I heard, that they'll be doing later this year.
Yeah, as a couple. But I mean, Harry's been here a million times.
Of course.
He's big friends with
the King of Lesotho.
King of Lesotho. Let's see.
Awesome. How did you find it yesterday?
It was fine. It was nice. I saw our friend Eleanor, who works at the British Trade Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Checked in with the... I met someone from the Canadian embassy. I've never met them before.
Are they also on the same street?
Well, everyone's...
Everyone's there.
Everyone's on that street. Listen, Pretoria's beautiful. I mean, even in... It was such a beautiful day yesterday. It was hot. It was like the sun was actually... At one point, I needed to get into the shade.
Wow.
It's like Pretoria's at least 5 degrees warmer than Joburg. On a good day.
Yeah, it is actually officially 2.
Yeah, it's amazing.
2 degrees warmer than Joburg.
It really feels officially. Like... It feels like you're in a much better climate. It's very bizarre. Anyway, so loads of things to get to this morning. Do you want to do the 5 things you need to know? You want to check in on the news?
Yeah, bro.
All right. So let's start off. And Pumi, I know we've got the Burning Platform coming up. By the way, Canthan Pillay will be joining us. Canthan's like a regular feature. On the show now, and we were all terrified that he wasn't going to pitch for today because he had some kind of diary thing and called Sia last night and said, no, I'll definitely be there. Before we get to any of the news stories, oh my God, Sia, I'm totally with you on the visit. I'm waiting for dates and places so I can put in leave for that time.
Yo, guys.
Total stalker, peace and love, Claire in Cape Town.
Just Claire. Be friends with Sia, Claire, because Sia is, best you believe, friends with the High Commissioner and everybody that works at British embassies the itinerary. Yeah,
so, definitely. Claire, you and I then need to have some conversations behind the scenes here, because if they're doing a lot of stuff in Cape Town, you need to have my back. If they're doing some things over here, then I'll have your back. Let's have a dual system going on here.
All right. Inati says, I don't know my barber's name. It's been 3 years now.
Hey, my dot.
See, I'm not crazy, nor am I making excuses for myself.
Right. Okay. Let's get into those news stories.
But first now of all, I'll know his name after
just
this.
Just find out, because we're all curious now. Okay. It's probably like, you know, Borat.
Aye.
All right, so the South African government has laid out a timeline for the restructuring of Eskom and has pledged that the creditors of the state-owned electricity company won't suffer losses, according to a fund manager who attended a briefing by National Treasury. Treasury Director General Dondo Mokgatjane said that the steps in a meeting with investors in London on Tuesday, according to the person who asked not to be identified because the event wasn't public, the Treasury, of course, have declined to comment, saying that the meeting was held behind closed doors. But, according to this person who leaked the story, the government bailout announced by Cyril in his second State of the Nation address last week would enable Eskom to function as a going concern for 2 years. An appropriation bill for the bailout would be approved by the end of July. A chief restructuring officer and team have been identified. They'll be announced in mid-July. And the CRO will produce a plan that's the chief restructuring officer, a plan to deal with Eskom's debt within 18 months. The government guarantees that investors won't suffer losses. Eskom will be unbundled in 2 years, and the bailout is more important to South Africa than losing the country's investment grade rating. So they're going to make sure it happens. Eskom has more than 440 billion rand in debt, including 5.5 billion in euro bonds, and doesn't generate enough cash to service that. About two-thirds of the debt is guaranteed by government. So that's the latest on the clusterfuck that is Eskom. But, I mean, we need to know these things, right? We need to know what's happening. Let's see what else is going on in the country, and then we'll get to the rest of the world
in a
second.
What I really need to know is, where's that load shedding schedule? Because obviously the load shedding has resumed.
Oh, yes.
And nobody's giving us a schedule. So I was just like watching, what was that? I was watching something the other night, and then, because I was in bed and the lights were off, but then my Wi-Fi went off. I'm like, what's going on here? Only to find we'd been load shedded.
Oh my God, that's so irritating. The daily commute can sometimes be painful, but one My City bus worker in Cape Town has become renowned for easing people's woes with his friendliness and his willingness to help out. His name is Siyabonga Jubeju, and he works at the platform in Cape Town. He didn't even think twice about putting himself in the line of danger when he recently ran to extinguish a car that had caught fire.
Jeez. That's nice.
That's at the Adderley station where he works. He also helped return a lost cell phone. He found someone's bags with important documents. He regularly carries heavy bags for the elderly from the bus station to the long-distance bus terminal a short walk away. This guy's great.
Siyabonga.
Siyabonga, siyabonga.
I see what you did there.
When people are at work, they often say, it's not my job. I just help out and do what's needed. I like to help people, he told News 24. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
We're so used to hearing stories about people who do the absolute minimum, and here's a guy who's just, he's doing everything he can.
Nice.
Then, Ali Bacher.
What's that, Pila?
Yeah, he's still alive. I was going to say alive and kicking, but I don't think he can.
All right, so he says, alive. He says he knows why the Proteas lost the Cricket World Cup. Do you want to hear? No one can ever understand that.
No.
But I'll try and translate. We have three outstanding players in this era. Abby de Villiers, Hashim Omlo, and Dale Steyn. De Villiers not here in England for whatever reason. Uh-huh. You get it so far?
He only almost three counts for two batsmen.
He says he almost counts for two batsmen. Hashim is one of the greatest ever batsmen, but unfortunately the years have caught up with him. Steyn is our best fast bowler, but could not play in this tournament. Bacher's second reason is that there are lots of young players in the team without much international experience. But as Ben said the other day, some of our young players did better in scoring runs than the older ones. So that's bullshit. Ali, what are you, blind, deaf, and mute? His third reason for the team's failure is long batting tail. The Proteas have won just one of the seven games in the remaining clashes against Sri Lanka and Australia are purely academic. The South Africans have never won the Cricket World Cup after eight attempts since 1992. And Ali Bacher had to step in and say,
thank you.
Right.
Thank you for translating. Oh, it was tough.
Who needs to, who needs to hear from him? Okay, I'll give you a choice. Do you want to hear about municipalities?
No.
Or SAA? I mean, we've got to choose one.
Let's not be surprised. SAA. Okay. Let's see. All right. At least now.
Well, it turns out the board at SAA were not surprised, but they were suspicious of Public Enterprises' debt. Apparently, former South African Airways CEO Sizakhele Mzimela has told the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture of the lead-up to the resignation of nearly the entire board, the appointment of new chair Vuyisile Khona and her own resignation. Mzimela stepped down in 2012 following the walkout of several board members. The relationship between the board management and the Department of Public Enterprises had become increasingly strained, Mzimela told the commission. I think the same board started to feel more and more the frustrations between reporting to the various ministries and reporting to the then ministry at that point in time. I mean, people have been reporting to ministers for years, but this SAA, they just can't get it right. Too difficult for them.
So I watched some of her testimony.
Oh, yes.
Yesterday.
Give us some insight.
And it was deeply fascinating to watch. because I haven't had an opportunity. You know, I don't have a TV. So I don't have a TV in my office. Or at my home. I watch everything off my iPad or whatever. And yesterday I had occasion to be somewhere where there was a TV and I could tune into the commission.
You decided, oh, I've missed out on TV, so I'll watch the State Commission on...
Absolutely.
Really?
And as I watched her kind of explaining so, with so much, you know, so dutifully, so, and she tried so much to be so clear. It was fascinating to see. And the level of, you know, we feel like at state-owned enterprises, nobody knows anything. Like, that's what we feel like.
Yeah.
But the level of detail... And the level of understanding that she has, that and depth of not just SAA, but the aviation landscape and how she was explaining it to the commissioner as well, to the judge, who's not an expert. And mm-hmm. so he has to understand it at a very rudimentary level.
Right.
It was really so fascinating to watch.
Well,
I was just like, Cesar, so I wish, however, I felt...
You feel sorry for Cesar?
I don't feel sorry for any of them.
Really?
No, I don't feel sorry for any of them.
So she was trying to explain, but it sounds like the explanation wasn't particularly convincing. Like, she's just telling you how rotten the whole thing was.
You see, and the thing about the state, we've had a little bit of this conversation. For me, the real problem I have with the commission is that there's this onion that they're trying to peel,
mm-hmm.
but there's no... It doesn't feel to me that there's a coherence of we're choosing this thread and we're going to peel it all the way so that we can all follow what's happening and get to an end and
like
get to 10 names.
It's almost like the TRC where they're just hearing people's
stories.
Yeah,
everybody's waffling. Everybody's waffling from point to point. It just feels that there's no coherence. So last week we're listening to them talk about Transnet.
But isn't
this week we're listening to them talk about SAA. Next week we'll be listening
But that's the difference between a commission of inquiry and a prosecution. Now, based on these commissions of inquiry, there's enough information for the public prosecutors, the National Department of Public Prosecution, to get involved and to actually chase those threads down, right?
Mm.
That's what we expect. All right, well, here's a guy who is a real crook, and he's been told he has to pay back the money. You heard about this?
Bloody crook.
Marcus Juster?
Oh.
He's been told by Steinhoff, the company that he ran, into the ground. Steinhoff has filed papers in the Cape Town High Court in an attempt to claw back hundreds of millions of rands from the former CEO Marcus Juster and ex-CFO Ben Lachransi. Apparently, the business magazine reported on Wednesday the Stellenbosch headquartered companies claiming 870 million rand from Juster and 272 million from Lachransi. Now, they've got to pay.
Shucks.
Because investors are out of pocket. You know, pension funds, people who were looking to Steinhoff to be an honest company with honest reporting, they expected, okay, well, this is a company we can invest in.
This is the part where I throw my head back and laugh.
They were crooking and they were cooking the books and they were crooking the customers.
Oof.
And these guys are just the worst. Steinhoff did not immediately reply to a request for comment, and Fin24 has not seen a copy of the summons. But these two have now got to own up. These papers have been filed. Meanwhile, the former chairperson Christo Wiese, speaking to CNBC Africa on Wednesday, said it was now clear that prior to the PwC probe, the audited results of Steinhoff meant nothing. They were signed off, but they are shown or have now been shown to not really be representing the factual situation. It's bullshit, basically.
I mean, is that an official statement?
From Uncle Christo.
Can they just say, we lied?
Yeah.
What was the quote? The book showed that they do not contain
audited financials.
Factual information.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
What is that? That's a lie.
Listen, I've got to ask you a question. Now we have to call Swaziland Eswatini. It's not called Swaziland anymore. Because I hear them referring to it in official communiques now as Eswatini. The kingdom of Eswatini. So people are not, you're not allowed to say Swaziland anymore.
It's not that whole Durban Etegwini thing.
No, this is a real
thing. It's official now.
They've changed the name of the country.
I didn't know that it was not Eswatini.
Well,
because I've always understood it to be Eswatini. Every black person you speak to calls it Eswatini, and then it's only when you're speaking in English that you say Swaziland. No, it's like the English name to the Zulu name.
Because we live in the world. We don't live in like a black or white world. And the world's maps are printed, and the world's maps have been printed with Swaziland as the name of the city. Like it used to be Tanganyika for Tanzania before they changed the name. It's an official name change.
Mm.
So now on maps, it's going to say little e Swatini, which is
on
interesting.
Maps? Really? Yeah.
Yes, everywhere.
I just
even in
that's
the news
like,
now, they refer to it. Used to be Swaziland. Swaziland was the name of the country.
Mm.
So, you know, it may have been colloquially called something. It's like, you know, people might call you Sispumi, but your name is Pumelele.
Yeah, but you that's know, what I'm
Swaziland's
saying.
Name,
that in my
Swaziland's
mind,
name
the Swaziland thing was like... Mm. Swaziland.
Well, then,
is, you know,
then you
but it's Eswatini. When you talk to anybody
actually,
about where it is or where
now,
you're going. Or,
now the country is actually called Eswatini.
Officially.
Yeah. So there we go. There's an interesting story that you may need to update your calendars and update your Google Maps and everything else to make sure that you are talking about the right country. Otherwise, people aren't going to know what the hell you mean. And then, I mean, this is just horrible. So I'm going to quickly get to it because we brought this up on Monday. That Joburg building with the elevator that went careening up into the top of the building and that woman was killed. So apparently there is more coming out about this. They've figured out what went wrong. The elevator hit the roof on the 26th floor. And the counterweight, which plummeted downwards after a cable snapped, shot the elevator upwards. It hit the roof. And it's quite scary, you know.
Oof.
Apparently, the other guys got out there okay. The one guy has been left in pain. He's unable to work. Zweletu Mambane entered the elevator on the 14th floor in Doornfontein on Sunday afternoon on his way to get food from a store downstairs. He recalled that the woman in the lift, who has not been named, was already in the elevator when he entered. When we got to the ground floor, the doors opened, and before we could get out, the lift shot up while the doors were open. And came to a stop on the 26th floor.
Yikes.
Scary, scary stuff. He said he and the woman collapsed, and after a couple of minutes after realizing what had happened, he noticed the woman was bleeding and screaming, "I'm dying, I'm dying." The woman, believed to be in her 40s, later succumbed to her injuries after she became trapped in the lift. Oh, yeah. What a story.
So what that story does tell us is that those scenes in the movies where, like, the hero holds... onto the lift and like shoots down that weight.
Can't
and then the
it.
Lift is a true thing.
Yeah, that counterweight. If you
I've always just thought, I
but
wonder how
survive.
Real this
you
thing is.
You won't survive if it happens, clearly. I mean, this guy did, but the woman didn't.
Jeez.
All right, those are some stories in the news. That's all we've got for you for this morning that is serious. But the burning platform, which is sometimes serious, sometimes not, is coming up a little bit later on. Bitcoin is at $12,904. Bitcoin has gone up like a rocket in the last
year. Gone up like
this. It's made a serious comeback.
And Ethereum, $335. So if you've got any Ethereum or Bitcoin, today is a good day. Yeah, it's looking good. Litecoin, if you're interested in that, because we did cover it the other day with Revix, $129. Looking good. Mm. Let's hope it continues to climb. All right, over to Sia. Sid by Sia time. This is where we check in on some positive stories, some of the things that are going on in the news that make people smile rather than make them unhappy. And what do you have for us today, Sia Sangweni?
Well, if you've been on social media since yesterday, and even right now, I just checked, America's Got Talent is still trending.
Really?
And that's because we have a local group who has made it big on the global stage. So they are called the Ndlovu Youth Choir, and they received amazing, amazing reception. And I always love to see the global response to something like this. People are now like, oh my gosh, where do they come from? And this is where South Africans claim them. So the Ndlovu Youth Choir has made the nation proud with their America's Got Talent audition that has now just gone viral. Mm-hmm. And they still have a long way to go in the competition, but they definitely have a lot of support and have won the hearts of many, many people.
I just can't believe that people are still watching these talent shows.
America's Got Talent, X Factor, American Idol.
Like obviously, I was in one of these shows, I have people all the time say to me, "Hey, Gareth, how's Idols?" And then I say to them, "I'm not on it anymore." Mm. So they're not watching. But then there are people who are watching.
Do you know, did you hear about The Masked Singer? That's the latest singing competition that really was like
Masked.
A craze. Yes.
Oh, wow.
The premise is so silly, but it's these famous musicians who go onto the show all in these ridiculous masks and costumes, and they perform on the stage in front of a panel, and the panel have to guess who it is. Silly. Anyway, I digress. So yeah, there are like 40,000 of these shows, including America's Got Talent, and this is where the Ndlovu Youth Choir has now got some attention.
Okay.
They performed Vicky Sampson's African Dream. Are you surprised at that?
No, that's totally, that's by the book.
It's so corny, but I love it. They end up getting a standing ovation, not only from the crowd, but also the judges. And also got Simon Cowell to sing their praises. So some background info about the choir. They were founded back in 2009 as an after-school activity, but since, you know, has just blown up so much. They're actually from Limpopo, and the Ndlovu Youth Choir sings songs in all 11 South African languages, including Zulu and Xhosa and English, and they've performed all over South Africa. And I actually, just seeing them trending, started to do more research on them. I saw an amazing cover of theirs that they did, Ed Sheeran's Shape of You. They also do this very cool humor Masikela medley as well. It's all on
Good.
YouTube. And they also perform some of their original songs as well.
We think that the Samson African Dream song, we think that's boring because we hear it all the bloody time. But for Americans, they're like, oh my God.
So real. That's so African.
Yes.
And if they hear Hugh Masikela, they know who Hugh is, right?
Oh, yeah.
They oh, my
totally
God. It's Hugh Masikela. And they're excited by that. So
let
them have it. I mean, for us, it's like old hat, but they like it.
Mm.
And they... We know they love it because look at how well our Soweto Gospel Choir has done.
I saw them yesterday again performing at this event that Sia and I were at. They are superb. They're the best choir in the world.
Mm.
Indisputably, right?
Always touring.
Three Grammys, I think. They've got an Oscar. They've got tons of Samas. They are the best choir in the world, without a doubt.
They've had
They're
to
ours.
Duplicate and separate their choir because of their touring demands. So, like, one choir's in Europe, the other's in... all over the place. It really is amazing. But then talking about Hugh Masikela, actually, Hugh Masikela, the likes of Miriam Makeba as well, have won the African Music Award for at the Europe's African Music Festival, and so has the Ndlovu Youth Choir as well. So they're quite talented, and they really have racked up tons of awards the world over. So it's awesome to see them, you know, recognized in a different light with America's Got Talent. So if you haven't seen it just yet, I think if you want something to brighten up your day, I think just watch their performance. Quite awesome.
Very nice. Thank you. Said by Sia.
That's said by Sia for this morning.
Yes. Here's that choir singing their biggest hit so far.
He's a king.
My praise singers. All right. Now that's the Soweto Gospel Choir.
I think we need to bring back that song.
It's a real winner.
I would have that as my doorbell.
This is always a nice way to wake up. This would be the best way for your... If you want to set your alarm on your phone...
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Don't you think you'd wake up with such a smile on your face?
Oh,
every
morning,
rather than being upset.
Way better than all those tones that they have on the various phones at the moment.
Ugh. What's your alarm?
It's Three Little Birds. I've got a song.
Oh, you got a song. Oh, very nice.
How
Three
fancy.
Little Birds.
That on a wire. That one.
No.
Oh, it's not that song. There's a Lauryn Hill kind of Three Little Birds type song.
Bob Marley.
No, I have a Bob Marley. Three Little
that one,
Birds.
The original. Okay. I've heard, I knew Bob Marley's song, but I've heard the Lauryn Hill version. Okay, let's get into it. We've got lots of news. We've got lots of fun things to get into, some stuff to discuss. But I do want to address our Let's Be Honest, because we've already got some ideas coming in from people who are tired of being lied to in their speech. Now, you know, we were talking about this coronation campaign, which is on at the airport. I saw it the other day when I got back from Durban. It's really cool. It's about the unseen and the seen. So they show you part of what's going on, but actually, when they zoom out, you see beyond the frame of the picture that people put on Instagram, and you see how they're trying to portray a world that doesn't really exist. They're trying to make themselves look much more exciting and much more happy and much more profound than they actually are. So I think it's important, if you're going to talk about trust, to use the right language. And I said to them the other day, let's talk about how we use words, what kinds of words we use, how we talk to each other, what we really mean instead of just what we say out of habit. Mm. And Sia uses a lot of these terms from time to time, but so do I. I mean, I'm guilty as just as anyone else.
The speech has made me realize that I need to dust up my language.
You've got to tidy up your language a little bit like you tidy up your room.
Yes.
Or your face.
So it's time to hashtag let's be honest. And today we're talking about the battle of the sexes. And of course, men and women speak different languages. We know this.
Actually, similarly to what we were discussing earlier.
Pumi was just saying that she knows the name of her hairdresser. She talks to them. They talk to her. It's a whole conversation. Men go in, sit down, get the haircut and leave. And maybe they figure out the name of their barber or maybe they don't. You know?
Years ago when I was still reading, like, you know, the developmental stages books of kids, I was astounded to find out that three-year-old girls know at least 500 more words than three-year-old boys.
Really?
Huh.
Well,
imagine
I'm actually not surprised. And I think it only increases after that age.
Well, how do you not expect there to be a breakdown in language then? Just like
all right,
this.
But then women expect.
Girls are so much better than boys.
Oh. They are. And they're also better at communicating. And your son is never going to. I mean, look, he's got a different sort of situation because his mom actually explains things to him. But most girls never explain stuff to boys. Like when women say, I'm fine or it's fine, they don't mean it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't take you at your word. That means I'm furious and I'm not prepared to discuss it anymore, right?
You're supposed to, it's beyond the picture, right? It's about the tone in which the fine is said.
Okay, explain the different tones.
So sometimes it's a fine, which is a little bit cool and calm, just leave me alone. That's mm-hmm. what that fine means. It mm-hmm. means leave me alone. But if there's a little bit of furious anger in the I'm fine, it means you better ask me what's wrong.
Mm.
Better ask me what's wrong. And if you don't know what's wrong, you are in a lot of trouble.
But then let's take it a step further.
Hold on. Just see how this is just completely illogical. This is why
makes
men don't
no have sense.
So hold on. Women, you expect us, first of all, we've got to be reading the tone, not your words. So your words are deceitful. Your tone is what we've got to read. Second of all, you expect us to know what's wrong, but you want us to ask what's wrong. Do you see how weird this is?
Absolutely not.
This is bizarre.
How about leave me alone? Like, should I leave you alone? Should I give you attention? We never know.
These are all of the things that are important in interpersonal relationships. Mm-hmm. Kind of like finding out the name of the guy that's going to cut your hair or face, right? It's the same kind of thing. If you are in a relationship with the person, surely you get to know that person and you get to know their tones and their body language. And also you get to know when they're unhappy, and what it is. Sometimes you are the cause of the fine.
Ooh. But Pumi, okay. Is it too much to ask that you would just say what you mean?
Is it too much to ask for you to pay attention?
No. But yes, it is. Because,
it is.
Because you let's at least have congruent words and feelings.
Because then you take it a step further. I ask you, what's wrong? Then you say, nothing.
Yes, exactly.
What does that mean?
Exactly.
It means, if I have to explain it to you, you're not ready to solve this problem. That's what it means.
But
if I still have to explain it to you, you're not ready.
No, you see, I don't like this. This just drives me insane when I'm in relationships, and that's why I'm single at the moment. I don't want to have to read between the lines. Why must I be a sangoma while I'm trying to just figure out my day?
Hey,
she says, what do you think of this dress? I go, that's beautiful. Really? Yes, it's beautiful. We're leaving in 10 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm already moving on to the next thing. She's like, no, you didn't say.
Yeah, you need a little bit more than explanation.
Yeah, you didn't immediately say it. Or maybe you said it, you took too long to say it. Or you said it in a certain tone. Or would you prefer this dress? Is that what you're saying? No, I said it's beautiful. I mean
it. Is it beautiful on its own or it's beautiful on me? Come on, guys.
So confusing.
You need words. You just use
all
your
right,
words.
So. How about this one? When you really want to do something and then you ask her and she says, okay, go ahead. That means don't go ahead, right?
Again. I'm going to say this slowly.
Because so that we really today, get it. Okay.
Today you're on a different tip. Today you're just, y'all just ain't getting it. Mm. So I'm going to say this slowly for you.
Mm-hmm.
It actually means, if you have to ask me, it means you're already doubting if this is something that you should be doing.
So in other
words, if you go ahead and do it, just know that you're going to suffer the consequences of nothing is wrong.
Exactly. When you make a mistake and then she says, it's okay, she actually means, I'm going to think about how long and hard this problem is going to exist in my head so I can make you pay for your mistake.
With older manipulative sisters, I know this all too well.
Yeah.
I can almost see the cogs churning in their heads when they go, okay, oh, all right then. Mm-hmm. It's like, what am I going to do? How will I get back at him? How will I make him learn this lesson again? Whereas opposed to if we just had an honest conversation, I could learn what I did wrong. I could learn what you like, and we can move on
now,
in minutes.
I love just being on time. It's a simple thing, but it means I have mastered the universe in some small way. Right? Just being on time.
Mastered the universe.
Because if I say to Sia, I'm going to meet him at the shop at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to be there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Knowing me, I'll probably be there 2 minutes to 5. But if you ask women, and generally, and I'm not saying all women obviously, but generally, are you ready yet? Answer is, I'll be ready in a second.
Yes.
Never. It's never a second. It's never. It's minutes and then even hours.
I'll be done in a minute.
Yeah. And you're just watching that clock going, I'm pretty sure we said we'd be there at 5.
And you don't help the situation by just like not responding correctly when a person asks you how they look in their outfit.
No.
You're also not helping the situation.
You see, I do this though as well. And then don't put pressure on me. When I know we're late and I'm getting ready and I've said to you 5 minutes, in my head I know it's at least 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't ask, are you nearly done yet? No, just.
Every time you ask me that, don't. I add 5 minutes.
Yes.
Let's be honest. And when someone says, this goes for girls more than guys, when they say we need to talk, that means I need to talk and you need to listen. Right, Pumi?
It means we're going to have a difficult conversation.
Oh, man.
It means we're going to have a difficult conversation. You may find it hard to find words.
Ooh.
So, all right. Men are also guilty of this because men don't always say what they mean. Sometimes when a guy says, I'm not ready to commit to a relationship, what he really means is, I don't want a relationship with you. Right?
But that's a tough pill to swallow,
but it's true. Like Pumi justified the position for women, I'll try to justify the position for men because we don't want to hurt anyone when
yes.
we say that. That's not comes from a good place.
I don't buy that.
It would be, I think, more devastating to hear someone say, actually, I don't want to be in a relationship with you.
No.
It's actually not.
No, guys. And this is where the ambiguity of the words we use, right? It's mm-hmm. always based on the, I'm not sure if this person's got what it takes to like deal with what I have to say right now. So let me couch it for them in a way that I think will be acceptable to them. But all you do is you just draw it out, y'all. You just draw it out.
Yeah, I think that's a problem. And then just finally, because we talked so much about getting ready and being on time and all the rest of it, when a guy says to you, you look fine, in that tone, you look fine, means, can we go now?
Can I flip it over again? So, for me, what does that do to you when you hear that?
You look
You can tell it's very like half effort.
And here's the thing, because women spend the time in kind of analyzing both what is said and how it is said. Then you know, you're just like,
that warrants another 15 minutes of you going back to reassess your outfit. See?
Now I have to go and change because obviously I don't look fine. You've got a problem.
Let's just all be honest. We'll save everyone's time and energy.
Right. This is the second last of our Let's Be Honest series of conversations with Coronation, which is an authorized financial services provider. You've probably heard of them. Coronation is all about how trust is earned and trust is built one word at a time. So let's just be honest. Thank you for all the messages this week. It's clearly a hot topic. You can read some of the comments on my Facebook page. There are nearly 200 100 comments up there already from people about how we just don't understand each other's language. And there are still a whole lot more that can be added in there. If you want to go and add your thoughts, you can. That's the Gareth Cliff pages on Facebook. You can also send us messages on 079-748-2090. We'll be back with Let's Be Honest and the wrap-up tomorrow.
Start your day with New Healthfields Organic Vegan Muesli.
Well, at least two of the seven ingredients are organic.
Healthfields Organic Vegan Muesli gives you the boost you need to rise above your challenging day.
That would be the massive energy spike from the sugar disguised as modified cornstarch.
It's difficult to trust nowadays. At Coronation, we believe that without honesty, there can be no trust. That's why when it comes to investing your money, we take everything into account, the seen and unseen. Ask your financial advisor about Coronation or visit our website for more information. Coronation. Trust is earned. Coronation is an authorized FSP.
This is CliffCentral.com.